Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the... No, you know her from No God Band. The No God Band she plays in, also on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
Yeah, that's right. Do it, do it. And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll tell the dead you're a dick.
You can't talk to the dead.
I'm talking to you, aren't I?
I'm not dead.
Yet.
Are you threatening me?
I'm getting a message from your Aunt Lynn.
You're lying.
She says you masturbate with Carmex.
Damn you, dead end!
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California at nighttime. In the Studio City tonight, we have Jimmy Dore. And
hello.
Arriving very soon, we also will have Susan Gerbic and Mark Edward. You know these folks from the World of Reason. Kind of ghostly.
Yeah, well.
It's very, very ghostly.
For me.
Jimmy, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. I'm trying to adjust this chair.
Oh, you got to. It's really tough, actually. You got to pull up on the right side of it and then just kind of bounce upward. Yeah, that handle will get you going.
There you go. That's right.
It ain't working. Switch chairs.
Oh, jeez, as he bumps his head into the microphone.
Got it. Oh, now I feel.
That was a rough start.
I can look you in the eye now.
At least it's on camera.
It is on camera. We should start over. I'm just kidding. Geez. I do it all the time. I act like we're going to run through the whole open. That's stupid.
I'm very skeptical of this show. How about that?
Are you? You're skeptical of that chair.
Does this really exist? Is this show happening?
No. You're not here, man. You got high. You're laying at
Jimmy's
home.
Jimmy's not here, man.
You're imagining hanging out with Emery.
That's right. So
that's the worst pot ever.
That's definitely a hybrid. I will say, I go to, I don't want to, I have a new pot dispensary, because they keep closing them now.
They
right?
sell pot here?
They sell pot here.
You can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a new one. You know what, I was going to just tell everybody who what about, because it's the best one, but now, it's the Cornerstone in Eagle Rock, but I'll just tell you.
What's so good about it?
It's like if you, in your head, the guys who are totally into it too much, they think they're doctors, you know? Like,
uh-huh.
They go, hey, what does this do? What are you looking for? What are your problems? Hey, you know, my problems are I'm looking for some good weed. That's my problem. And it's like, so I go, well, you know, well, this is going to have more of a narcotic effect, and it's going to have more of a mind disassociation. It's like, you guys know a little bit too much about the weed, right? But I actually appreciate it, because I know I'm getting good stuff. I don't have to worry about it, like, being, you know, it's like organic and stuff like that, so...
They could be just saying anything about it.
Yeah, but you can
this
tell.
This one turns you blue, man.
You can tell they're a little too, because they have these like leather-bound menus, and they have it all printed out exactly what it does, like a paragraph about each strain of weed, what it does. So and they have a couple of strains that they just have for them. No one else sells it. It's weird stuff like that.
What? Wow. I don't smoke pot anymore, but when I used to smoke pot and I was living here in California, I never got a license, but there was this one dispensary that would let me in.
Oh, really?
Because the dispensary was owned by people from Philadelphia, and that's where I
from.
So they knew me from Philly, and they were like, you're welcome in here anytime you want to come in. So I'd go in there and hang out and smoke and get
pot. And that's why they get shut down.
Well, they were shut down.
So now what? You don't smoke anymore?
No.
How come?
Just quit.
Good for you. None of my business.
She was having a bad time with it eventually.
Yeah, if you smoke way, way too much, it takes over, and just like anything. Just like anything, if you do too much, you can hurt yourself.
I quit for 2 years
one
time.
She used to shove brownies up her vagina.
Oh, that's not bad.
She was going haywire.
I had brownie pops frozen and shoved in my anus. And then it came back out brown.
Neat. Yeah, that's my nickname for my dick.
Brownie pop?
Brownie pop.
Visual.
Mine is crackers.
Ah, okay.
Because I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Hey!
Wrote that joke when I was, what, 12 maybe?
I don't get it.
Really?
So who are we going to skeptic tonight? Are we going to...
Well...
How does this go? What do we usually... I'm ready to skeptic something.
You know what? Heather and I...
Heather and I... Skeptic something.
Heather and I went to... The Chip Coffee Show.
Do you know who Chip Coffee is?
No, no, but I've heard a little bit about him. He's a psychic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a TV psychic, and he's famous for a show called Psychic Children, and I'm looking up
the last TV psychic I was familiar with was crossing over with John Edwards, and that was the thing, he was real, so I like that.
Yeah, he was a special kind. My favorite, Sylvia Brown.
Oh,
do you remember her?
She's wrong all the time on Maury.
Well, they're all wrong. They're all wrong all the time.
Yeah.
What makes her stand out is she's awful and evil. I mean, her readings are always like, you know, I want to get in touch with my son who died when he was 6.5 months. I'm getting that he suffered very horribly.
Yes.
And now he
he blames you.
Did you notice? Did you notice our Sylvia Brown is very Gilbert?
Yeah.
So she was awful, evil. She was evil, awful. It was always a negative thing. And it's funny because you know, when you watch even Edwards and all these other assholes, they almost always are nice. It's always really pleasant, and that's the way they can package themselves
up.
Ya. Yeah, they're just helping people feel better and move on with their lives. That's their that's the way that they cognitively dissonant themselves from the reality that they're fucking people out of $160 a night. Or $200 a fucking hour read, or no, minute. They charge per minute, some crazy, nutty, shitty thing.
Have you ever had, though, but the thing I like about John Edwards is that he would just guess shit until, and then you would go, yes, right? He would go, now I'm getting a thing, do you know a Sandy, a Sally, a Sharon, a Karen? Karen, yeah, Karen. Oh, this is for you then.
Yeah.
This is for you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you can't just start doing that. He was so easy to see through, but...
They all do that.
Have you ever been? I've been to I've gone for readings or whatever. I was at a party one time, or I was at a wedding, and they had a tarot card reader.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so for everybody, it was like, it was free. So it was for kicks. You sit down, and she said some things that I was like, that's a little weird that you said that. That, how did you know that? Shit like that.
Yeah.
And then one time I went and saw when I was a long, long
time. Let me back you up on that moment.
Yeah.
Remember what you were about to say. I don't want to get you off track.
I remember.
But you know what happens, my friend?
So that's what I think what screws people up is they have a situation like I just went in. So tell me about how, debunk it for me.
Well, what happens most often, like I watched people who really believed Chip Coffee's shit.
Yeah.
And he was saying things, and then the guy would feed him information, or the girl would feed him information, and he would... he would package it as if he had already known that and the way he worded
it. What's with the guy in the military? And the person would think and be like, well, my grandfather was
actually,
in the
he
military.
Goes, are you in the military? He goes, are you military? Or father. I think he wanted to get in touch with his father. This kid had really close-shaved head.
Yeah, he looked he was.
He looked fucking military.
Right.
And he goes, was your father was in the military? And the kid's like, no. My grandpa was, though. So he gave him that information.
Okay.
You know what that kid went home doing? That kid went home thinking that that was a fucking hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stuff like
you
that.
You see? That's how it works. So if you've been smoking that good pot and you go to a psychic, you're going to remember these things as hits that aren't.
Plus, TV psychics are really well edited. I mean, they leave out anything that's
not Yeah, no doubt. All that shit they
would leave out. It. Right now, I could do it. Your favorite color, Jimmy. I'm getting orange or red.
Yeah,
orange
or
red.
Oh, good, good call.
Yeah. Did I nail that?
You nailed it. It's orange.
It's orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at your shirt, Jimmy.
Oh my God.
So now.
Oh wow, that's wild.
You see what I did?
You're good at this.
You're not fucking around, right? I just tricked you. So it's really.
I went to a lady one time in Chicago. My friend took. She goes, you got to go see this lady. I'm like, okay. So I went, and she said some shit, and she said, write it down. So I wrote down some. She goes, this guy's going to help you, and this guy. She started naming names, and
that sounds like a hot read.
What does that mean?
Cold read means I'm getting an L and M and and L and then you're like Mary. That's who's here. That's a cold read. That's getting you to tell me what I'm going to tell you that I already didn't really know, but I'm going to pretend I did.
Okay.
A hot read is if I had researched you a little bit, if I had been listening to your podcast, which I have been, And I knew some things about you that you didn't know I had gathered in that way.
Or maybe someone was listening to you talking in a conversation earlier.
Oh, okay. And, that's a hot read.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or maybe they sent one of their minions out to go find out information and bring it back.
And you don't necessarily, especially if you're a believer in this magic, you're not going to be looking for it.
Right.
You're not...
People fill out surveys sometimes.
Yeah. You fill out cards sometimes. Who do you want to get in touch with? And then they have questions on the card that give the information that lets the psychic either hit right on the nose or make assumptions around, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, lived in Steamboat Springs. You like to ski, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Right. So you can deduce, do a little Columbo work.
Yeah, it's not even that tough.
So let me ask you this then. So I have two more questions.
Go ahead.
I didn't even know I was going to ask these questions. This is good, though. But
I knew.
Heather got a hit. Heather just got a hit.
Go ahead.
So now, have you ever taken mushrooms?
Yes.
They're in my freezer as we speak.
Okay. So now when you take mushrooms, it kind of fucks everything up for me because you realize, oh, there's other ways of knowing things that I didn't know. Like there's, and you realize the interconnectedness of everything and that we are all kind of all one consciousness. It's like Bill Hicks said, experiencing ourselves subjectively.
Yeah.
So you kind of get, there's so much mystery and there's so many ways to know things, right? That I'm skeptical, of course, of sort of people who say they know how to know things. But do you ever think that there, when you take mushrooms, there might be another way to know things?
While I'm on mushrooms? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Afterward? Hell no.
Well, really? You know,
when I'm back on the ground, I'm like, okay, I see what I was doing.
When you take drugs, you tend to be more sensitive. And so maybe you notice a movement, you know, better and out of the side of your eye.
Differently.
Or you hear differently. And so it feels like you're hearing more, more than you usually do, because your senses are heightened, and so in the day-to-day world, you're not paying attention. You know, when I first took acid, I noticed the color of the leaves, and I was like, wow, it's really, really, really green. I never actually looked at this and saw it this way before, but that was the drug, you know, heightening my senses 300%. But I realize that.
Well, it also take the thing about psilocybin or what have you is that it takes away your ego. So this individuality that we have that we build ourselves on, it gets taken away, and then you kind of see that the way you've seen the world before is an illusion, and that there really isn't separateness. And so that kind of changes things for me.
I think you're merging the fantasy of chemical induced thinking with the reality in which we live. And that's my problem with I call it pothead spiritualism. Earlier you mentioned that we're all interconnected. That's pothead spiritualism.
But no, we're literally, that's not an idea. We're literally.
We're going to talk about this.
Okay.
Okay. We've done this on the show before, but I'm really anxious to see what you have to say on this.
Oh, okay.
First of all, I'm going to ask you to define what you mean by we're literally all interconnected. So give me that. Go ahead and give me that.
Okay, well, literally, we came out of the earth. So literally, we're not separate from the earth. We are the same. Literally, came out of stardust.
Okay.
So literally, we're all made of the same material that literally came from the same place. For the way Alan Watts, this philosopher, puts it, is that if you were a Martian or if you were an alien and you came to Earth a couple million years ago, you would just see nothing but rocks and shit around, right? Or a couple billion years ago. And then if you came back, you'd see people. And you go, holy shit, wherever there's rocks around, be careful, because pretty soon there's going to be people.
Uh-huh.
And just the way apple tree apples, the earth peoples. So we literally are one of the same. We're so separate, we only seem separate. We're all part of the same energy stream. We just split off. And the way the Hindus say it's because the goddess separates so we can know ourselves. Why does the energy separate? To know ourselves.
Okay.
So, and all the different ways. So that's what I mean when I say we're literally connected. We literally came out of the earth. We literally are from the same source.
None of what you just said do I disagree with.
Okay.
Now, the next thing after the break that I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to explain to me the significance of that. In other words, in what, right? In what way is that important to our lives? Okay. That's what we need to understand, and then we'll talk about it right after the break. I like that music. It's really nice. Do you like the music?
You're listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. I can't say per. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit doubtfulnews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now, back to Skeptical Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Dore, Susan Gerbic, and Mark Edward. Thank you very much for being here, everybody. During the break, by the way, Susan and Mark were able to make it through traffic and get into their seats.
I have a joke for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. First of all, I can't hear your microphone. Can you hear yourself?
Yep, I'm all right.
Okay. I can hear him.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn you up a little bit.
Yeah.
So my joke is, how do you know when a psychic is on her period? Anyone? Bueller? Anybody?
I don't know, Heather. How do you know when a psychic is on her period?
You get your palm red. Poor Mark.
You all right, Mike?
That's good.
All right.
You got to get right in there.
Oh, right in here? Okay, yeah. Yes. Hello.
Aim that mic right at you, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, just like that.
Right here.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
I want to apologize to the listeners for that squeaking sound. So we were talking before you guys got here about the psychic thing that we went to, and then it turned to a spiritual discussion. We will come back to the psychic conversation very soon. All right, Jimmy, I need you to tell me the significance of the fact that we're all connected in that way. All of us, everything, including the rocks, everything on the planet, other planets, everything in the universe, it's all stardust.
Right.
Okay.
So what's the
significance of that fact for you?
I think it changes. It certainly changed the way I see the world, that I realized that separateness is an illusion, right? That we are all connected. Like, the ramifications of that are huge, right? That
that's what I'm asking. I need you to tell me what the ramifications are.
So, I mean, the whole life you're taught that you're separate. You're yourself. You're this ego. Then you find out that that's all false, right? So your idea of who you are changes your idea of who you are as an individual, because you know you're part of a larger thing, that you're part of this larger collective unconscious, and you see that, you know, like Walt Whitman said, the tree is me, you realize that I am part of it. I'm not separate from the universe. I'm not separate from the earth. I'm part of it. That it is me. Okay. So those things change the way you see the world. I think it makes huge.
Well, you've said a lot. I want to jump back to one of the things that you said.
All right.
I think you're conflating the physical us with the experience us, with the mind us. We're absolutely having different experiences individually. We're intermingling, you and me. We know each other from many years ago.
Right.
We hang out. We know each other's humor. And so you and I have a connection that is profoundly different than any connection that can be made between me and a guy named Bill on the other side of the planet who doesn't know I exist, or a rock. I don't mean Iraq. I mean a rock.
I know what you mean.
To suggest that there's some spiritual or even intellectual
energy.
Or energetic connection between all of these things is to you have to leap the Snake fucking River Canyon and to even try to make a suggestion that there's a significance in the connection between me and other side of the earth, Bill.
And if I die, a rock on the other side of the earth will not, there nothing will happen with that rock. It won't disturb or
it's kind of like the argument about being reincarnated. My aunt believed in reincarnation. We argued it constantly. Yeah. And when she passed away, we had made a deal, her, myself, and her daughter, we had made a deal that she would try to connect with us from the other side. And I missed my aunt, and it was a sudden death head-on collision drunk driver. And so I found myself looking for that connection. I made a deal, and I honored that deal by looking for some kind of connection.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, man, when my radio started cutting out driving down the highway, all of a sudden I'm making connections that just don't have anything to do with my passing aunt. But I wanted them to. And if I was, you know, if I smoked a lot of pot, maybe I would live with that connection the rest of my life, but I don't, fortunately. I think really rationally. And my cousin, her daughter, she had similar experiences where she was trying to make connections, make sense, make things profound that didn't fit, that didn't belong. So reincarnation, in my opinion, even if we were to discuss the possibility that they're real, let's say that there is some sort of consciousness that moves from body to body, just for discussion's sake for a moment, that still is not consequential to me. That's so inconsequential unless I can go talk to my aunt.
Right, I see what you're saying.
It's completely inconsequential that we're all made of the same star stuff if it doesn't have some sort of real world
Yeah, I'm not a reincarnation guy, but I will say about
you
that.
You see the comparative, right?
Yeah, I do. All right. But I will say that we literally are reincarnated, right? So so as far as what happens to our consciousness, no one really knows. But we're literally, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It just changes form. So we just change form.
We don't change form.
Yes.
We're reduced to our basic chemical elements, and those are used again.
Right.
So
the energy,
you're talking about recycling, not reincarnation.
Yeah, recycling. That's what I mean. Yeah,
the universe recycles its elements.
Well, so what I'm saying, we literally don't really die because energy can't die, and we really are just energy.
I know that you're afraid of death, but we die.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's true.
No, I know.
You know, you,
I'm not. I welcome death.
It can't come soon enough for you, Jimmy.
I thought I was dying a couple weeks ago. I woke up, and long story short, I thought that I had about a keg of blood in my toilet, and it turned out it was just because I drank a bunch of beet juice the night before. But for like 10 minutes, I was certain I was dying. Like, because whatever was wrong with me was obvious. I was a dead man. Yeah. And I'm not going to get chemo. I'm one of those guys. I'll just die, right? And the opposite happened. Like, all my problems just fell away.
Why wouldn't you get chemo?
I don't care enough to go through that.
Would you get chemo, Heather?
If it was a 99%.
Would you get chemo, Susan?
I had 20 weeks of it.
There you go. Heather and Susan have both been
chemo. Both had through chemo?
Yeah. And they're pretty happy to be here, I think.
Yes,
Happy. You know, that's what I'm like. I feel like I'm ready to go.
What are you, 25?
No. I've done my thing. I'm done.
I've never said this to another human being. I hope you get cancer. The reason is, I'm going to make a prediction. You're getting chemo, my friend, because that fucking desire to remain, I think, is much more powerful than the comic mind.
You know, the problem I'm having is I'm to that age where I realize that achievement doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't do what I thought it was. I never felt like I arrived. And then even after I've arrived now. My life has...
You've been arriving as long as I've known you.
Like I said, I tell people my life has exceeded my dreams many times over, yet I still manage to be miserable most of the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. It's like, oh, I keep thinking... We're taught in our culture that our life is just about to start at any minute. It's always on the other side of this achievement. And every time I achieve something bigger than I ever thought I could, I still felt the exact same way, and I kept looking towards the next thing. So if happiness is always on the other side of achievement, it's always going to be on the other side, and that's where I'm at.
I think this is what informs your worldview.
Yes.
When you talk about the universal connection, mm-hmm. I think it's a desperation. I really do. I think it's driven by that awful malaise that you experience through the process that you're talking about. In fact, let me see your latest. Hand me your latest success story. Jimmy Dore is very political. I came across you the other day, just incidentally, on. The Young Turks.
The Young Turks, sure.
I think I called you. Did I buzz you up or did I just email you? Fantastic.
Oh, you might have emailed me, yes.
Just fucking love it.
Thank you very much. I love that show, The Young Turks, Cenk Uygur.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Oh, there's the book. Look at that. You put it right on the TV. Look, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, your country is just not that into you. That is the name of the book. And then it's got a colloquial title at the bottom. How the Media, Wall Street, and Both Political Parties Keep on Screwing You Even After You've Moved On. You're so much smarter than me. I have one album that I created. There you go. Thank you for bringing the book.
Thanks for holding up.
Go get that book, by the way. Go get that book. Yeah, my album is entitled... do we remember the name of my... I can't even remember the name of my album.
Shit Stains from Mars.
Yeah, no.
No, that's not it.
Psychotic Ramblings of a Chronic Masturbator is the colloquial...
That was close.
The subtitle.
Nice.
We're
on different levels.
What?
Purveyor of
Filth is the title.
So that book came out of... I've been doing my show, and I talk about things, and... Can I just give a little taste?
I want to know how you came up with the title of the book, too. But
well,
yes.
I come from a big family. This is true. 12 kids in my family. And people always say you learn a lot about life.
No wonder your life sucks.
I know.
You learn a lot about life growing up in a big family. And the biggest thing I learned is I'm easily replaced, right? Like, I knew if I died, it wasn't going to put a big dent in their plans. I can't imagine my mom sitting around, oh, no, Jimmy's dead. What am I going to do now with just the 11 of you? How do you fill the empty 1/12 of your heart? So I got a pretty good antenna for when people aren't that into me, and I can tell that what the people who run the country, and I don't mean the politicians, I mean who George Carlin called the owner class, they're not that into us, but they like to give us pretend choice in who runs our country, and the greatest example of that was the last election. We had Mitt Romney against Barack Obama. Now, that was important, because if Mitt Romney won, we would have got Romney care, but Barack Obama won, so we got Romney care. So you see how important it is to vote. And we're going to get whatever the corporation wants, and that's what I talk about in the book and the breakdown of the mainstream media and how they failed us and all that stuff. But I do it with a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Good.
So there you go. So that's your country's just not that into you, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
No, I get really excited when you do shit, because you do shit really well.
Thank you very much.
I wish there was some way to instill in you the excitement that we other comics have about Jimmy Dore.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, you know, I talk about things that are kind of, people like to label them political, but they just come out of my real life. Like my brother, who makes about 50 grand a year, worries about the estate tax. That's a true thing. I'll explain. One day I'm at my brother's house, and out of nowhere he goes, hey, we have to get rid of that estate tax. So I'm like, sure, Danny, what the fuck are you talking about? And he says, that's if you die and you have millions and millions of dollars. The government just takes half of it. They just take it. And I was like, that's horrible. Let me know when that becomes a problem. But until then, maybe you should turn off your AM radio and get invited to your own life.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm sure the estate tax sucks, but estates don't have two cars that don't work on the front lawn. Okay? You should be worrying about the T-shirt tax at Walmart, you dickhead.
All right, when we come back, I want to know what you think of Snowden. Then we're going to talk about the psychic thing that we went to with Chip Coffee. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. Why did the psychic cross the road?
I don't know. Why did the psychic cross the road?
Because that's where all the assholes with money were. All right, listen, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Dore, Susan Gerbic, and Mark Edward. We've been kind of running the show here for a little while. One last question for Jimmy before we move on to the skeptic event that we went to. I haven't talked about Snowden on the show, and I know you have an opinion of Snowden, and I want to know what your opinion is.
Well, if you listen to the mainstream news media, what they'll tell you is that Edward Snowden is this anti-American creep with a narcissistic personality disorder, and this being said by men who wear makeup and sit in front of TV cameras for a living. So that tells you all you need to know about the mainstream news analysis of it. But Edward Snowden is a classic patriot. You know, he didn't take those secrets. He saw malfeasance and criminality on an unbelievable scale happening inside of our government. He didn't take those secrets and sell them to terrorists or foreign countries for profit. What he did was he gave them to journalists like you're supposed to. And that's exactly what he did. Right. And then they disseminated the information to everybody. And for that, he's rewarded with, his life is now ruined. He left a great life in Hawaii with a pretty girlfriend and a cushy job to go now live in an airport in Russia or wherever the hell he is right now because he gave a shit. And of course they're going to demonize him. And shame on John Kerry for what a warmonger he's turned into. He used to be a guy who campaigned against illegal wars, and now he's the guy who champions them. So
why are we seeing the news coverage just being they hit the talking points of the politicians constantly?
Well, that's what they make the mistake of the news media today makes the mistake of thinking neutrality is objectivity. That's not you can be objective and still say climate change is a thing.
Yeah.
Right. But they don't. What they do is they'll go, hey, here's a climate scientist who says climate science is a thing. Here's a moron senator from Tennessee who says there isn't a thing. We presented both sides of the debate. Glad we could have it. Who's right? Who's wrong? I guess we'll never know. You decide. You couldn't report the sports that way.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't go, hey, the Cubs played the Pirates last night. Cubs said they won 4-3. Pirates said they won 5-4. Who really did? I guess we'll never know. I presented both sides.
That is what they do. The system is fucking rigged. You said it.
That's exactly when the people who say the media is liberal, well, look, they don't create the news for people who watch the news. They create the news for their advertisers. So if the news is liberal, it's being brought to us by Walmart, multinational corporations, defense contractors, and oil giants. They're the ones funding liberal investigations of corporations. No, what they're doing is they're funding the non-investigation of corporations by the news media. By the way, it used to be the news media was independently owned. They're not owned anymore. They're owned by the criminals they're supposed to be investigating who also own the government. There used to be 50 giant media companies in America in 1980, 50, and they controlled all the media in America. You know how many there are now? Six.
Five.
Six corporations own all the media in America, and that's why we're fucked. And that's why we're going to be in an endless war in the Middle East when we're firing teachers, cops, and we can't fix our bridges at home. But all we can do, we got some pro-education, pro-women bombs we're going to drop over in the Middle East, I guess.
This is why you won't get chemo. The only way out of this is death, isn't it?
The only way
is
out
there
of,
a way out of this,
the
Jimmy?
The only way out of this, yes, there is one way out of this.
Only one?
There is only one way.
People like more than one option, man.
There is no option except we
Fuck.
Have to get money out of politics. And so
that's
the
way?
And the way to do it is we need to pass a constitutional amendment, and I'm working with this group called Wolfpack, wolf-pack.com, and their idea is you have to get 34 states to ratify, or 35 states to ratify a constitutional yeah. amendment around this issue, and then you have to get two-thirds of the House and Senate. They already passed it in the Senate. Two weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, they passed to open up debate on this constitutional amendment, which was amazing. They passed it in New Hampshire. They were like, first of all, you'll never get it done in New Hampshire. You'll never get it done. We got it done. And then they go, well, you'll never get a big state like California where there's defense contractors and oil money. You'll never pass it there. They passed it in California. So we got a huge state and a small state and the Senate. So this is what we need to do. We need to pass this constitutional amendment to get money out of politics, because no matter what your issue is, you can't work on your issue till we get this issue taken care of, because that's what's corrupting the whole system and why we have the biggest income disparity since the Gilded Age, in a time when corporations are making record profits. Right now, corporations are sitting on $5 trillion that they're not investing in our economy because they say they don't have confidence. And I say, if $5 trillion doesn't give you confidence, try fucking dance lessons.
Well, I hope you're right, because if you're not, I want to die.
Run for office.
And the banks no are going to crash.
Are you going to run for office? You'd never do
no,
that.
No, I couldn't. I do too many drugs, and I've got too much checkered past. And
a checkered
stuff.
Shirt.
I couldn't. You know what? Right now, if we get money out of politics, I could. But they spend most of their time glad-handing trying to get money. And so I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, I'm cut from a comedian's cloth. I like to be an outsider and make fun of everybody and ridicule.
I liked Carlin's take on it. I mean,
me too.
I tried to think of myself as a liberal. Then I thought maybe I'm a libertarian. When I was younger, I was pulled into the Republican thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not any of those things.
Right.
I don't want to subscribe to one fucking group of rules. It's bullshit.
I'm certainly, it's not left, right. It's up, down. It's the top against us. Yeah. Of all the economic gains since the crash, the 95% of all the economic gains have gone to the upper 1%. This is really happening. Yeah. The system is rigged, and they're doing it right out in public. And when people got sick of it, and they went out and protested during Occupy Wall Street, which I don't know, you know how I feel about them, but is there anything more disgusting?
Smelly is all I
feel. Is there anything more disgusting than a bunch of filthy degenerates making a perfectly valid point?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know about that. So, of course, we got the Barack Obama let Democratic mayors from coast to coast give the order to crack heads of those peaceful protesters, and they did it because the Democratic Party is bought and paid for also, which is why we got the same economic plan as George Bush gave us, as Bill Clinton gave us, which is to regulate Wall Street and give them $50 billion for free a month called quantitative easing, which is really happening. Yeah. So when they say they don't have any money, that they don't have any money for you. Your country's just not that into you. They don't have any money for Social Security or Medicare or schools or cops or bridges, but they have money for endless wars, prison construction, and crony capitalism. They have endless money for bank bailouts and war. So they have the fucking money. They're just not that into you.
I'm picking up anger. I'm getting a little anger.
Well, I get worked up about it. People tell me I get angry about this, and I always apologize and say I usually hold most of my anger for important things.
You shouldn't apologize.
Like sporting events and Hollywood award shows. Because nobody gets upset if you're mad about the Yankees or the Cardinals or the fucking Oscar. He didn't deserve it. But if you get upset about shit that actually affects your life, people go nuts.
Right.
But that's who I am.
Do you believe in psychics?
I believe, no, of course not.
I wanted you to be on record on this one.
No, of course I don't believe in psychics, but I do believe that there are other ways of knowing things that we aren't aware of.
I'm going to have you back as soon as you or your management will bring you back, and you and I are going to do an hour of that.
Okay, let's do
it. I'm not kidding. That's an hour talk.
Okay.
Hour and a half.
Let's take mushrooms and do the show.
All right.
I've never done that. I don't know if I could work the board.
I'll go for that.
Okay.
Yeah? All right. We could try it.
By the way, I need a good hookup, so if you could help me out.
I got you covered.
All right, thanks.
All right.
No comments.
All right, listen. Susan.
Yes.
First of all, you put together this absolutely amazing experience for me and Heather and others to join in.
Did it involve mushrooms?
It did not.
Not this time.
No, no. It involved a little tiny mushroom-headed asshole. And we all, you raised the funds and you sent us all to attend the Chip Coffee event here in L.A., San Jose. Were those the only two locations?
Yes, that's the only two we did this
well,
time.
Well, at first you were just going to do San Jose, and then you got the great idea to send some people out before you were going to go.
I got more money than I thought. It was so easy to raise the money, and then I trust everybody that went, the people who were started volunteering to go to L.A., I was like, well, of course I would let them go. I'd happily give you $160, Heather and Emery, each. I mean, I had no problem whatsoever handing you over that much money. I totally trusted what you guys were going to do. And so as soon as it kind of dawned on me, like, I have the money, and people are volunteering, and they're people I trust, let's go for it.
Yeah, but so, it was great that you sent us out first, because we were able to come back and tell you.
Well, what happened was...
so much information.
We got seated, and you don't kind of pick where you get to sit.
Well, tell what this whole thing is about before you even start.
Go ahead.
The story. I mean, well, Susan... Mark, Emery, Heather.
Well, Susan and I pride ourselves as doers. And we're tired of skeptics sitting around in big hallways talking about things and never doing anything. And many years ago, we started guerrilla skepticism, which is basically stop talking and start walking and fight fire with fire. It's not going to do any good to complain about it and wait for somebody else to do something. And I grew up in the 60s, so... You know, I had my time in the streets and did street magic. So I'm a performance artist, basically, and I see these people as performance artists. So
psychics.
For me, yeah,
grief
mediums,
vampires.
Mediums. Well, Susan and I call them grief vampires. Anyway, Susan and I said, you know, let's start really doing something. So I had we're not mentioning any names, are we?
I don't think we should mention any names.
Okay.
Right
well,
now.
I had already done a little protest for the person. That's why I wasn't as involved this time as I was last time this person was in L.A. Because
we're mentioning that
Chip Coffee.
Yeah, okay. Coffee. I tried really hard to work something with another group a couple years ago, but I ended up being thrown out of, given the bum's rush from the Biltmore Hotel for my
same
part
in it. Same
location
we were in this year.
Yeah, but it was because it wasn't poorly planned and it wasn't thought out. It was a last-minute thing. So I basically learned from that, plus some things I did against Sylvia Brown and other people over the years. And I passed my knowledge on to Susan, and when we went to the UK, we talked a lot about it to people over there and in Scotland. And so Susan and I put together a plan, and Susan is much more savvy with social media, which is an aspect we're not going to really talk too much about, but it's part of the bigger picture. And we decided we would try and really do a big sting, if you want to call it that. And so I gave it over, and because I couldn't show my face, and a couple other people couldn't either, because I'm known by Chip Coffee. He actually took videotape of me as I was being escorted out. So Susan took over. Now, Susan, you tell. I don't know what you want to tell and what you do want to tell and not tell, and go for it.
Well, basically, I was just feeling that I was getting really sick and tired of seeing people putting up on their Facebook page that Chip Coffee was going to be coming to town and somebody should do something. So I tend to be a doer. So I said, I guess I'll do it. So I put together... just using social media, I was able to just ask for volunteers for a project that I can't really talk about. And I asked for donations. And I put together a team of about 50 people. And we've been discussing this since May.
Okay.
And we were able to, we had a bigger plan to try to get him involved in a hot read. So, but that didn't end up working out.
Well,
we found out that he's a lot lazier than
I know,
we
right?
thought he was.
First of all, we worked very diligently to find out if he was a hot reader.
Yes.
What we discovered is he's not utilizing the hot read technique.
At least not with us.
On this tour.
As far as we can tell, right. So we had a contingent in place to discover whether that was happening, and we discovered he's not employing it, mm-hmm. At least not... We weren't able to find him employing it. That's the best way to put it. Now, that said, What happened was we got seated at about the fifth row. I was on the aisle. And we did not get called on. We tried. You're supposed to put your hand up, not jump around. I tried a couple times to get the hop, skip, and a jump to come our way. It did not.
That's a technique he employs.
I'll talk about that in a minute. I'll clarify it. And the only thing that happened was Heather during the Q&A. He does three different segments of the show: a Q&A. A medium hour, and then a seance thing.
And a photo session, so really four.
Four. Yeah. So during the Q&A, and by the way, why does a fucking psychic need a Q&A? Wouldn't it just be an A? So he does a Q&A. Heather got a question in, and that was all we got. Then I sat in that seat, and I watched him manipulate people in the most awful way. My opinion is that guy is fucking awful. What he's doing to people, he's talking about their dead relatives. And he's also a fucking sales fuck. That guy, I'm not kidding, at one point he points to a lady and he says to her, I'm getting something for you. I'm getting something for you. Oh, and he's saying he does not want this. She's saying she does not want this to be public. She wants you to call me, and we'll do a private read. Shit you not.
Well, the thing is,
shit you not.
That person he was pointing to was in the first row. Now, the first two rows on the right hand side of the room that we were sitting on were specifically for people he knew. I mean, those had to be hot reads because
they were probably people who he has already given, yes, at least one reading to.
That makes it
really easy for him to.
So the viewer watches that and thinks he's getting hits when in fact he's repeating things to the person who knows he already knows it, and they're like, yeah, he knows that.
Now, we paid $160 some odd to go in and be in the VIP section, and when we came in, the first two rows were empty, and I'm going up there going, why can't I sit in the front two rows? And the guy seated us in the fifth row behind other people that were sitting behind the empty front two rows, but the people in the front were, and he went to that section a lot.
Lady who he says, we got to do a private call me. I wish you would have looked at her finger and see how big the diamond was on her.
Because
that's how he probably chooses. Just like a bad car salesman, he figures out how much money you have in you, and then he tries to get it out of you. He doesn't figure out what's a good price for the car.
There's no question he's pulling that kind of shit. At one point, he's talking to a guy that had, we had talked about this, I think, earlier on the show. The guy that he talked to that had really short hair, he looked kind of military, and he wanted to contact his dad. And he asked the guy, is your dad military? And he says, no, but my grandfather is. So he gave Chip that piece of information, and I guarantee you he's telling people right now that Chip Coffee knew that my grandfather was military.
That's the
kind of shit. The other thing that blew my mind and just made me fucking sick to my stomach was just at one point he's talking to this Aussie couple, and he says to the Aussie couple, after having a lot of misses, he goes, I know this sounds cliche, but what's with you and Hugh Jackman? I kid you not. That's the kind of piece of shit this guy is. We'll talk more about that cunt after we come back from the break. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to some of our listeners. Danielle Lucas, Travis, Joel, who speaks for the drunk people. Booger Bender, Analyze, Bad Dresser. Dresser, that's Barbara.
Barb.
Mr. Puppers, Ben Rad, Tiger, Barely Here, Ed Clint, Linda, Richard Murray, Regina George, Ian Steven, Biohazard, Grave Apologist, Bunny Boy, FC Semen Stains.
By the way, they can pick their own screen name when they chat on the wall.
Periodilila, Joe Swam, and Cameron Winters. These were some of the names of the people hanging out in the Skeptic Tank during the last show. Thanks for being there, everybody.
And now, back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Dore, Susan Gerbic, and Mark Edward. Thanks for being here, everybody. All right, so what we were talking about before we left is some asshole that's taking money from people and claiming he's talking to their dead people.
Kind of talking about our experiences there, and uh, the the biggest thing that I took from it was he seemed to want to make people feel good. So nothing.
He did make people feel good. I want to be really clear. He did.
He didn't say anything negative about anybody's dead people. Like, you know, especially, you know, the mothers and the kids and he really just wanted everyone to feel good.
Why would he do that?
Well,
mm-hmm. Money!
Sylvia Brown was a bitch when it came to talking about dead people.
She's dead.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Have you ever heard of this guy named Brocco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went and saw Brocco.
Ah.
Did you fall asleep?
Brocco.
Before you got here, I want to prime them a little about you. Before you got here, I was talking to Jimmy, and he had said that he had been to some psychics before, and he'd had things like that hit that kind of made him go, whoa, hey, whoa. So that you need to know as we hear.
So I went to Brocco. He was in Pasadena. Now, if you don't know who Brocco is, Brocco has the power of the gaze with a Z. And so he just comes out literally and just looks at people for about 15 minutes, and you pay money. And then it's supposed to be all these things. And I just got to say, hats off to Brocco, because he's not bothering with a script. He's not bothering with putting on a show, you know, like those televangelists will hit you in the...
That's why it's a performance art. All it is.
It's unbelievable. And he skips it all because he realizes that it's up to you to believe anyway. And if they're going to fucking believe, then they're going to believe if I don't do anything. And they do!
Of course. And he's probably way more popular than Chip Coffey is.
Yeah, he's international.
He's international.
Yeah, Brocco.
It's just like right now.
He does eight shows in one day.
There's an art show in New York.
Well, how hard is it to just gaze at people?
An artist has an installation in New York where her art is invisible art.
Yes.
And she's selling it.
This isn't true.
Yes, it is true. I thought it was an onion thing.
I thought someone said that it was fake.
Wait. Stop right now.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Today, it finally came across. I've been watching it.
Yeah, okay.
It finally came across. Someone had taken an art installation photos.
Right.
And then all
the
heads.
The
look, and they just digitally removed the art.
Well, it's an absolute. It was a hoax.
Yeah.
No, it's not true.
But the thing is that I should know better, and it
you
sounded should've. Reasonable.
The minute I read it,
the girl had three tits.
The gazer.
I mean,
anything's possible.
It's a logical extension of the credibility of people.
Well, that's
invisible
the beauty.
Art.
That's the beauty.
I'll
buy
it.
That's the beauty of the Poe thing, man.
Yes.
I love the Poes that pull off gags like that. Usually,
me too.
The girl with the three tits. I didn't hate her.
Oh, turns out that was a hoax too.
Turns out that was a hoax.
And nobody was more upset about that than my brother, because he's born with three hands.
Thought he found his match. That's going to happen by the 12th or 13th kid.
You're going to have a couple kids with three hands.
A few people that are freaks. Is that what your family was going for?
That's what we were going for.
We're gonna take this act on the road.
But you've never heard of Brocco?
No, I had not heard of Brocco.
I have his book.
I want to tell you, though, also,
book
Chip
is
Coffee.
Blank, by the way.
The book is blank.
Well, the woman who wrote the book, she spent a month with him, but she wasn't allowed to quote him in the book. That she wrote about him.
Anything.
So he doesn't say anything. So there's nothing in there from him. She's just interpreting shit that she hopes he's saying. It's unbelievable what people will do. It is. I understand.
That's a good example of how people just fill in the gaps.
Oh.
You know?
Yes. It's really.
And by the way, Chip Coffee also has the gift of the gays. G-A-Y-S.
Oh.
Yeah, he's very gay.
Oh, okay.
Now, let's be clear. We were talking about two different events that happened. One was in San Jose on Thursday, and the other one that you guys attended was on Tuesday.
That's right.
Yes.
We were prepared.
In Los Angeles.
We were prepared for very specific things, because the way this psychic works, I'm putting air quotes around that every time I say it. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening at home, every time I say psychic, throw your hands up and do the air quotes. The way this guy works is he suggests on his website that you bring pictures. You should be ready to talk about exactly who you want to talk about. What they're doing is they're priming you to give them the information. That's really what's going on.
Not only that, but he says right in the show, he says, I need to know the name of the person, what they died from, and how long they've been gone.
I can do that reading.
Yeah.
Well, of course. I mean, it's like take all the work out of it and just leave
me. But you and I do it like a two-man psychic
show, improv.
Man.
Leave me with the improv part where I can say basically anything.
Yeah.
Like the one show we were talking about, he goes into this thing about a bottle of Vicks VapoRub.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course people in the audience are going, my bottle of Bix Vapor Rub. How did he get that?
Everyone has one, you fucking moron! Sorry. So we had the same shit. You know, it's a lot of really obvious stuff, you know, going through.
It's not very good.
There's X amount of colors. You start with the primaries, and you're probably going to hit somebody's favorite color. There's X amount of things that you can, you know, that a woman in her 60s probably has, definitely has a dead grandma and probably has a dead or sick mom,
right?
You know?
So we know all this. What are we going to do about it?
We're doing it.
What do you guys
so
do?
So we reconned, technically. We were hoping to get reads. I was absolutely hoping I'd be called on. But what we did, what we ended up being able to contribute from the LA experience was, I was able to call Susan and say, first of all, he admitted up front, well, not up front, but in a show, he admitted, don't let me forget about the phone ring. Okay.
Gotcha.
He admitted that he has bad eyes. He said, I have really bad eyes. He said that. And then after everything was done, I started looking at the locations of everyone he had called on. And he had literally called on everybody in the front row in front of him, right of the aisle, left of the aisle, the person behind that person, and the person behind that person. So this L shape had been called on completely. And I put two and two together, and I went, he's calling on people he can see better. It's very obvious that's what he's doing. I also, I don't know if I remembered to tell you, Susan, but he also called on women. The first 80% of the people he called on were women. The first grouping were all women. Then he went to a couple men toward the end. And I thought that was significant, too. And I was curious if that's how it unfolded.
It was almost only women at our event.
Yeah. So he's calling on women nearly mostly. One of the guys that got involved was with the woman that he had called on. And then one other guy, I think, in ours.
It was just two guys. One couple.
One couple, which was the Aussie couple.
Right. No, there was three couples because he called
the couple in front of us.
That
married right then and there.
Yeah, he married a couple people. Like, I pronounce you married. It's a long story. But
I hope they weren't gay.
Yeah. Three couples. So the couple right in front of us, the couple on the end, and then a couple right in front of the people on the end. So all in the front, first and second row, and then ones in front of us. But so we did a recon for you, and we have to kind of wrap up the show right now. But in the premium, we want to hear what you have to say about your visit.
Yeah, we'll get to
it's
we'll get
really
to
really good stuff, guys.
We'll
it's
get to
really
what happened in San Jose.
The real hits are coming up.
Yeah. That's it for the free version of episode 79. Another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Jimmy Dore, Susan Gerbic, and Mark Edward. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and our camera switcher, Samantha Kramer. Tune in next time when our guest will be...
sitting right here.
And we'll be talking about...
I don't know. I'm not a fucking psychic.
Yeah, that's true.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Lying Medium Winters, and our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Truthful Large Swam.
Where can people find you, Jimmy Dore?
At jimmydorecomedy.com. You spell Dore, D-O-R-E.
That's easy enough. How about you, Susan?
SusanGerbic.com.
You're also on another episode that we've done. All right.
Yeah.
Mark.
TheMarkEdward.com.
You don't have any Twitter, do you?
No.
Makes me crazy that you don't have Twitter.
I know, I'm lazy.
I loved you on Crossing Over.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.